Miff Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.
I don't know about you, but, well, you might have actually swum with whales at some point in your career. I'm not too sure, though, but somebody who has is Tim Winton. Activist, author, he needs a little introduction around these parts. He's just had some very good news, which I can't wait to talk to him about. A couple of his novels are about to be made into films, and he's also just written, this is the whale part, an absolutely beautiful piece about swimming with whales where he described the experience as holy. So I've got lots to discuss, and he's on the phone now. Hello, Tim.
G'day, Miff. How are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you. Congratulations on the film adaptation news.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I think Dirt Music just started shooting up just north of Broome, and the writers has been picked up by Ridley Scott's production company, Scott Free, for development. So, yeah, kind of nice.
Ridley Scott's a bit of a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've heard of him, so he must be.
That's amazing. I was just wondering, I'm going to play something from Cloud Street, which was one of your first, it was a miniseries adaptation of Cloud Street. Let's take a listen.
G'day there, Lefty. G'day, Dale.
Round on the house, my shout.
Shout of a shark.
Yeah. Can't kids, grab a squash and a scoop. Come up in a minute with some chips.
What's it like, Tim, from a writer's perspective? You sat in a room and you thought about these characters and you concocted their lives and you made them real for us as readers on the page. But what's it like for you as an author to then see that be interpreted by somebody else and put to screen?
You know, it's weird, really. I mean, it's about the only word I can find for it. It's very odd because you've lived with these imaginary people for years and suddenly they're up there and they're, I mean, I guess when you publish a book, you know it's public, but when they're up on a screen and when you're in a cinema and people, you know, people are 20 feet wide and their faces are huge, yeah, it feels more public for some reason, and it's kind of strange. And, you know, that line in that little excerpt that you just played, you know, so-and-so wouldn't shout if a shark bit him. I keep thinking, God, that's pretty good. Who wrote that? But then I probably stole
that
from somebody
else. Just a reminder, you did.
I just pinched it from somebody else. I'm sure I heard it somewhere.
What about I mean, it's out of your control as well when it goes to somebody else, or is it? I saw Breath recently, and that was beautiful. Were you involved in that process?
Yeah, I helped Simon Baker write the script for that. So I guess I was a little more involved with that. I, in the case of Cloud Street, I wrote the screenplay, but in the next couple of films, I'm not really in the picture and happy. You know, I'm quite happy to see what people make of the work and see how they interpret it and what they come up with. You know, I'm not really that interested in controlling the process. I've got a few other things on my plate. I've got a few fish to fry and a few fish to save.
Oh, what are those fish? Well, we'll get to that, actually. We will get to that. But could you have imagined giving over that creative control of some of your books, say, earlier in your career, as you can now? You're just like, oh, take it, do what you want with it. Could you have imagined doing that 20 years
ago? Yeah, well, actually, interestingly, Miff, I mean, it was only in the last few years that I've had any input into the film adaptations and TV adaptations. Up until recently, I did completely give over the projects because I was so busy and to be honest, I wasn't that interested. I was just too busy to get on with, you know, get writing a new book and I guess as I got more experienced, I got slightly more interested in the process of adaptation.
Now let's get back to those fish you got to fry. There was a beautiful article in The Guardian. People can go and have a look at it if they want to. I urge everybody to read it, and it's about a recent experience you had swimming with whales, Tim. I've been on a boat to look at whales, but I've never swum with them. Tell me about that experience.
Oh, it's pretty special. I mean, the last couple of years of my wife and I have got sort of, I guess it's a new hobby. It's funny what middle age does to you, but, you know,
are you doing in your middle age?
We've had, you know, a long association with Ningaloo Reef, over 30 years or so, and, you know, Ningaloo's a place in Western Australia, well, it's Australia's last, you know, most healthy coral reef, and it's also the site of, you know, a nursing and resting ground for, you know, one of the great, you know, sort of environmental success stories of our time, you know, with the recovery of the southern humpback whale population, which comes up every winter. And they rest and they feed their calves and they sort of loll about and socialise in Exmouth Gulf, which is very close to Ningaloo Reef, just on the edge of the World Heritage area. And we've just been going out in the boats and actually sometimes just paddling out on our stand-up paddle boards to watch them. And then we realise that they're amazingly curious and they come and look at you and they try and figure out, you know, what's going on, which part of this is a machine and which part of it's a creature, you know, and they're sort of leaning into the boat, they're swimming under the boat, they're trying to figure you out and separate you from the metal and the mechanical bit. And we discovered that if you got in the water, then they got really excited and curious and they want to stay around and interact with you. So, the story in The Guardian that you're referring to is just, you know, one really special day when these whales came around and around and around, and eventually Denise got in the water and this mother and calf just circled her and swam under her and sort of nosed up to her for ages and ages until she got cold and got out of the water and climbed back in the boat, and then they peeled off, they lost interest, but as soon as I got in the water to replace her, they came back. Yeah, we did it for, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half. It was just an incredible thing to be able to be face-to-face with, you know, one of the largest things on our globe, which has a brain bigger than our body.
You described the experience as holy, Tim Winton. What did you mean by that?
Well, I'm not sure really what I mean. I think it's just when you're in the presence of life, and you're in the presence of another sentient life, because, you know, you can see that these creatures are thinking, they're deciding about you, they're interested in you, you can see them communicating with each other, they're trying to communicate with you. I think it's just, it's a holy feeling to realise that life is real and precious, and we're all connected, and it's lovely to be reminded that the natural world is a huge influence in our life and that we depend upon it for our survival. And I guess that's why, you know, I've spent so many, the last 20 years fighting for the survival of the world's oceans, and particularly those close to home. And Ningaloo's, you know, one of the great assets that we have in Australia. And one of the places that we're trying to keep alive. And we, you know, with all the challenges that we have, you know, and global warming being the chief one, and we've seen the IPCC report just recently saying we've got 12 years to turn this around, and, you know, we have to stop burning coal, we have to cut our emissions, or all the coral reefs in the world will be cooked, you know. I'm thinking about all these animals that we swim with, you know, dugongs, whales, off-paddle with a marlin, would you believe?
Really?
Yeah. It's just, I think we don't really take seriously just the, you know, the glorious treasures that we have in this country. And Western Australia is especially blessed. And I'm really pleased that, you know, that these movies are being made and that, you know, people get to see my home, my country up on the screen, and they understand just how special it is. Anything I can do to bring people's attention to just our, you know, what we have and what there is to save and what there is to lose, I just feel duty bound, because the natural world has given me so much in my personal life, but also in my professional life. You know, it's inspired my work.
It certainly has, and you write so beautifully about the ocean. I couldn't recommend highly enough people to read all of your beautiful books. Tim Winton, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to play a song from Renee Geyer and Uncle Bill, and this one came from the Dirt Music. It was like a soundtrack to the book,
yeah,
your book, Dirt Music. That like it's not yet the film soundtrack, but this was put together, I think, by Lucky Oceans. Is that right?
Yeah, Lucky and I worked on that back in the day. It was a little job we had after hours. You got to do something with your nights.
You haven't got enough on, Tim Winton. Thanks so much for joining us. And if people want to read that article, just go and read it. It will make your heart soar. It was amazing. So,
anybody who's interested in helping us save that part of the world, go to protectmingaloo.org.au.
Tim Winton, thanks for your time.
Thanks.